Welcome back to another episode of the Pathway to Purpose podcast. My name is Sydney, your host, and I have honestly what I think is the best guest that I've had on this podcast. I don't think there's been nobody that would even come close to how amazing this guest is. Not only is she beautiful, but she is sweet and just everything that I ask for in a woman. And her name at the moment is Ashton Stockholm.
Hello.
Hello, Ash. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you are my fiance.
I sure am.
Yeah.
Sure am, proudly.
Oh, hey, man.
I got a ring to prove it. You just can't see it.
She got a ring. It's a nice ring, too.
It is nice.
It ended up being a lot nicer than I thought it was going to be.
That's because my cousin made it.
Shout out to the cousin. Got that family hookup, because I would have spent the same amount of money. Would not have looked that nice.
No, it would not have.
Even in the pictures, it didn't look that good. Like, once I saw it, it was like, wow, that's amazing. By the grace of God.
I was shocked about it.
Yeah.
I knew you would do a good job, but I was just very happily surprised.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that a little later as far as a proposal.
Ooh,
but I do want to talk about how we met.
Ooh, yes.
It's a very interesting
story.
All
the juicy details.
Can we... How do we do it? Like, let's. How about you tell your side, and then I'll tell my side first.
We both have different versions.
There are different versions.
We're gonna be that couple that's always like the wife or the wife. I'm not a wife yet, but soon to be. The woman always says one thing, and then the man is always like, "Wait, I don't remember that happening," or vice versa. And it just never sounds the same. So you have to hear two separate stories for it to sound the same.
I remember our pastor the other day was talking about how his wife wrote a book,
mm-hmm.
and it had different stories in it, mm-hmm. and then he proofread it and said, well, you might have to change some of these stories because this is not how it happened. She's like, that is how it happened. He's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I have other books with these stories in them. And she's like, yeah, but this one's right.
And the best part was that it was in front of thousands of people. That's the best part.
Yeah. So what's your story about how, what's your side of the story about how we met?
Mm.
What was happening with you?
What was happening with me before we met?
Well, no, just like how do we meet?
So we met, well, first of all, we met last May. So it technically hasn't even been a year since we've met each other.
Yeah.
And we're getting married in August. So it's been a whirlwind, an amazing whirlwind, but we met, so I am from California, and God asked me to move to South Carolina the year prior before we met, and I bravely said yes, and I moved over there, and I didn't know anyone, and I met a girl, at church. And then she later on went to meet your friends, and through that, we happened to drive like 4 hours to Charleston, South Carolina, and we were just on the beach hanging out, and I had recently been going on dates with this person like a couple months before, with this other guy, and he just turned out to not be a great person. And I was just very fed up, and I was like, you know what? I just don't want to get married. I don't want to have kids. I don't want to do any of that. And which was definitely not like me, because I've wanted to be a wife and I've wanted to be a mom my entire life. And I have a lot of those natural instincts and abilities. And so I was just done. And so I remember venting to this friend, that knew you, actually, but I didn't mm-hmm. know she knew you because I had never heard about you.
Yeah, she
I heard about your friends.
She told you about the entire friend group except me, right? Like, yeah. It was like six people, but I was...
Exactly, because she didn't really know you very well. The only reason she knew you is because you were the guy that videoed her music video she was in.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we... but yeah, I was venting to her while getting sunburned on the beach. And I just said, you know, I basically told God right then and there. Well, actually, no, I told him later that night. But to her, I was like, yeah, you know, I just don't want any of that. And then later that day or night or something, I told God, I was like, God, if you want me to get married, then you're going to have to put that guy, like, right in front of my face. And you know what I want. I've already told you what I want. And then I went off and listed all the things that I wanted characteristically, personality-wise, all of the things. And then the next night, she and I had been hanging out all day. We were sitting on the couch. And she was talking to her friend at the time, who is now her fiance, who is friends with Sydney. And she said she had this bright idea, that a light bulb that went off in her head of, well, maybe I wonder if Sydney and Ashton would find each other attractive or like hit it off. And so I'm sitting there and she shows me a picture of you and she's like, do you think he's attractive? And I was like, yeah. I mean, but at that point, I wasn't thinking much of it. I'm like, oh, here we go, another guy. Like, yay. You know, this is just the annoying cycle I've been in. And so part of me was just so exhausted that I didn't really even want to entertain it. But also, as women, there's that little part of you that's like, oh, well, maybe it could work. Like, maybe, you know. And so you just kind of dip your toe into the water, so to speak. So she was like, well, let me send a picture of you to Alvin and see if, you know, they're friends, see if he thinks that you would be attracted to me. And so he's like, yeah, I absolutely think he would be attracted to her. And so that's when she made a group text with you and Alvin.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and she asked, I think she said something like, do you want to meet my Jesus-loving, beautiful Jesus-loving friend? Yada, yada. I don't remember what you said. And I think you responded with yes. But, yeah, I'll let you tell that part of it. But, yeah, and then she asked if...
You knew that she sent this?
Yeah, I knew she sent it. And at that point, I was like, oh, crap. This is
gonna... You can't take it back, right?
No, you can't take it back. And I was like, well, more than likely he's not going to be like... I was just struggling at that point. I was like, more than likely he's not going to be interested, or he's just not, you know, he's not going to be what I want, or he's going to be half in, or whatever it might be, because I had only experienced letdown. And so I was just kind of over all of it. And so when she asked if he wanted to text me and wanted my number, and he said yes, and she sent it, I was like, oh, wow, okay, well, maybe this will go somewhere. And so then, was it later that night that you texted me? I think it was. It was like, yeah, it was, because we were getting ready for bed, and you texted me, you're like, hello, Ashton. Nice to meet you. and then your first question was, or no, you introduced yourself, I'm Sydney, yada yada, and then you said, so your friend tells me that you...
Let's wait on that, hold on, wait, let me tell okay. my side before we talk okay. about the conversation, because okay. that's there's so before we get too far into that one, so I had just made the decision to move back to Columbia, South Carolina. I was living in Atlanta, had a very good paying job that I didn't like, and I took a pay cut to come back to do the job that I love, which was be a state trooper. and I'm sitting on my bed. This is the first apartment that I've ever had alone. So I'm feeling pretty accomplished. I got a car, so that was pretty nice. I had just gotten the car too, because my other car had been wrecked. So I just got a car, moved back in. I was sleeping on my air mattress because I didn't have any furniture at the moment. Ray and Eric, my sister and my brother, had come up because they were getting a car in town. So they drove up from Atlanta and they were staying with me. And I'm laying on my bed and then I get a text and I'm like, oh my gosh, like somebody trying to hook me up. Like, that's crazy. And I'd only met Sarah twice. I only met our friend twice. So I didn't really know her that well either. We just spent like two nights. There was a game night and then I think Christmas. Mm-hmm. So when I got the text, I was like, well, it's very interesting that somebody would think of me like that when I don't really know him well. And it said, would you like to meet my beautiful Jesus loving friend who also thinks that you are attractive. And at first I was like, how does she know I'm attractive? Like, where is she? I've never met her. But obviously you saw a picture.
Technology.
Yeah. Technology showed. Yeah. So I was like, this is so weird. Like, okay. And I'm over here like, no, like, no, I'm not doing it.
After you saw my picture, you were like, no.
Oh my, no. When I saw the text, I was like, it didn't even matter. I was like, I'm not dating anybody. But it wasn't even a place of like, I don't, like, I don't.
Why didn't you want to date anybody?
So I had went through a year. So I was divorced. I went through, after my first wife left, it took a while for us to get divorced because of COVID, because mm-hmm. the court was just shut down. Whole nother conversation. And so what took a year ended up taking like two and a half years. Mm-hmm. But once she left, I was like, for a few months I was bad. I was like really bad, like life breakdown bad. And then I took a year to get to know God. And then I took a year to get to know myself. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I was good and ready to date, but I was scared. So that's the reason why I was like, no, like, and then it just felt weird being set up over the phone. I was like, in my mind, I really wanted like a girl to drop her pencil and then I pick it up and then look into her eyes. And then we just fall in love like that.
A whole fairy tale.
Yeah. Like that's not what happened.
I mean, I had never been set up like that either. And it was a little odd.
Really? Mm-mm. Okay, so yeah, like setups are just
I had
just
done
weird.
Online dating a lot.
Okay.
But I hadn't been set up by a friend before.
Yeah.
Especially not like over text message.
So this was new for both of us. Yeah, that's the thing, like over text messages too.
Right.
Which kind of made it a little easier because it wasn't face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
But she sent that text and I'm like, it's a lie. I say that I texted back, absolutely not. But I texted absolutely yes. And once I texted her, I was like, what the crap, Sydney? Like, you can't, now you got to talk to
her.
You
dialed in. She's expecting it.
Yeah, she's expecting it. You can't not talk to her. I was like, so, okay, just talk to her a little bit and then break it off easily. And the thing, like you said, we started texting and I guess now we can get into the story. Do you want to, I'll tell
go
that part.
For it.
So we were texting and... And like you said, I introduced myself, and I used your name a lot.
Yes, you did.
Did you notice that?
You were nervous.
I was very nervous.
Yep.
But I
kind of felt...
I had never dated.
That's why it's so weird to me now when you actually say my name when we're talking.
She
because...
can't stand when I say Ashton. Well,
no, it's not that. It's because you either call me Babe or Ash.
Yeah.
Or my love or something like a pet name, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like what you're supposed to do when you're in love with somebody. And so when he says when you say my name, it's like, okay, I feel like we're like working together or something, like we're colleagues. And that's how it felt when you said, well, because I didn't, at the very beginning, I didn't know what you sounded like.
Yeah.
We had never spoken on the phone. So when you were just texting me, I was like, at first I was like, oh no, he's like really proper and really like...
You would have been fine if I'd have shortened your name?
No, no, hon. Okay. No, I'm not saying that. It's just You were very professional.
I was using periods.
You were professional with how you're saying because you were being respectful.
Yeah.
And in my past, this is going to sound
bad.
Sucka. But what?
Suck, girl. Is that what guys always said to
no.
you?
No. Like, shouting? Hi, beautiful. What's up, beautiful? I'm like, no. It got to the point where the moment someone would say beautiful or something to address me, I'd be like, no, sorry.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah. But you didn't do that. And so at first I'm like, and I was not used to that. I was not used to the respect factor.
Mm.
And so because of that, at first I was like, oh, is he just dull? Or is he...
This guy's
or
boring.
In, like, super serious? Or is he, like, actually going to lighten up? And I'm like, well, I guess I'll never know unless I just keep talking to him.
Amen.
And then you asked me, can I say this?
Yeah, that's the big
part.
You
asked me the question of whether or not that I live, whether or not I love Jesus, right?
I was, so, in the text that I got from our friend, it said, beautiful, amazing, Jesus-loving friend.
Right.
Okay, I heard from a third party that you love Jesus, but that was the problem with my first marriage.
Right.
You hear from third party. I thought that my first wife.
It was also a very different situation.
It was different, but like I thought that my first wife believed in Jesus.
Right.
And after we got married, I found out that she really didn't.
Well, it's because it was more of a facade type of thing.
Yeah, like when you're younger, you can really like ride on the coattail of your parents, right?
Yes.
And it's like, this isn't a huge problem. Like, I'm not right. going to, like, whatever. We will work on it. But I knew that, and this is was very important about marriage, is that you shouldn't just marry for no reason. Like, there is purpose to your marriage.
Absolutely.
So, if both of us don't believe in the same things,
mm-hmm.
what are we doing?
Or have the same goals or the same things that you're going after.
Yeah. So, I wanted a very specific woman. And that woman had to love Jesus. And
you had other things on your quote-unquote list that you had been praying for.
Yeah. And,
I just happened to check every box.
Oh, my gosh. That's more for the conversation. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I asked you that specific. What did you think when I asked you that question? Because I specifically said, I heard that you love Jesus.
Right.
Is that true? That was the second question.
First of all, I was very... Right. First of all, I was... That was a green flag for me because that's not generally what I had experienced with men. It was, oh, I believe in God. It was usually me asking.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the time, if it was online or if I had heard from a third party or something, like... it was usually like... Oh, I believe in God, or I'm a Christian, or I go to church, or, you know, I grew up in church, but there was no fruit, quote unquote, fruit,
yeah.
or things to show that what they believed was actually playing out in their everyday life. And for me, like, character is a big thing, and you can have all the personality and all the fun in the world, but if you don't have good character and you don't have respect and you don't know who you are and you don't have boundaries and you don't have those sustainable qualities that will last for a lifetime, like those core foundational qualities, I don't really want anything to do with you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not going to last. It's just going to be superficial. And I had already had so much of that in my life that I was just done with it. And that's why I gave up on our generation when it came to dating, because I just, you know, when you get let down time after time after time by all these so-called Christian men, you just get tired of it. And so when you said that, at first I was like, wow, he's actually taking the initiative. It must be important enough for him to actually want to pose that question to me. And that was new. I've never had a guy ask me that before in that way. And then to later find out that you wouldn't have kept talking to me. I mean, I didn't know that then. But
yeah.
You wouldn't have kept talking to me if I would have said no, or if I would have been wishy-washy, you know. And there's a huge difference between, like, do you love Jesus, do you believe in God, and actually living it.
Yes.
And it's always a process, it's always a journey, but if you have to have, like, that deep knowing and that deep, regardless of life situations and things, if you don't have that deep understanding and that deep love for the Lord, and you don't have history with Him, then it's not going to sustain.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to make a difference in your everyday actions.
This is something definitely for the men that are listening when it comes to dating. The reason why I asked that question, because I wasn't going to make a mistake again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we get afraid. That should be, like, if we're texting, that should be the first conversation. If it's just like, hey, I'm going to meet you for our first date before we start talking, that is a first date question.
Right.
What you believe in is very important. And I didn't say, do you love God? Like, do you believe in God? Because God nowadays can be, like, you don't know which God they're talking about, right?
Right.
So I specifically said Jesus, because I know that, one, you got to believe that He's already came and died and is living now. Right. You know what I mean?
Well, even just the term, are you a Christian?
Yeah, that can be.
I'm especially in the South. It's like everybody's a Christian.
It's a lot. Yeah, so many Christians.
Because it's the Bible Belt, and so everybody. Like,
yeah, I'm a Christian. I don't go to church, and I don't follow Him. I don't listen to what He says to do.
Right. But I'm a Christian because I went to church when I was 5.
Yeah.
Or my parents go to church, or whatever it might be.
So guys, don't be afraid to ask that question. And women, don't be afraid to bring it up.
Right.
Like, if a guy can't handle that question, if a girl can't handle that question, like, you and I could have still been friends.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't have been dating.
Right.
Like,
it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I would say don't start dating, period.
Yeah.
Until you absolutely know what you want. Because as someone who messed around in the dating world, and even the non-dating world with the opposite sex, meaning fulfilling voids in my heart,
mm-hmm,
with people, which I don't recommend, by the way. you waste so much time.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it's more heartache and more confusion. And I would so much rather take the time, not only with the Lord, but with myself, and work on myself and actually figure out what do I want?
Yeah.
What do I see? What do I, if I were to have a hypothetical relationship, what would I want in 10 years from now,
yeah,
5 years from now, 20 years from now? And it may look nothing like what you see in the future currently, but if you see that there's potential, if you see that, oh, like, with more life experience, more healing, more Jesus,
yeah,
more all the things, more growth, if you know in your heart that you could see that because of the track they're going, then by all means, that's what you should go down.
That's so good. That is really good, because it's, you can, we, there's so much that we want right now,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, obviously people are going to change in 20 years. Like, people are going to be different. They're going to grow in some type of way.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. So if you have an expectation of what you want, and like later on, you want that right now,
mm-hmm,
you're probably not going to get that.
No.
And people are going to change. You have to make that decision that you're going to be right there no matter what.
Yeah, because, like, for me, my parents have been married going on 36 years at the end of this month.
Amen.
And
shout out to that. That is something to praise right there. That's awesome.
They're pretty great.
I like them.
Well, I hope so.
They're amazing. Amazing.
That would
parents.
Be awkward.
I love both of them.
In case you're listening. No, but my entire life, I've had that example. And it's not that they don't bicker. It's not that they don't disagree. It's not that they've never, I mean, I've witnessed them get on each other's nerves, and I've witnessed them get upset with one another. I've witnessed them kind of raising their voice at each other and getting frustrated at, like, not often by any means, but at times. And yet they equally hold so much respect for one another. Mm-hmm. And they have worked their butts off all these years to get to where they are. Yeah. It's taken nothing but sacrifice and humility and respect of one another and laying themselves down individually for one another, doing things for each other when they don't feel like doing it. That's the epitome of love.
Yeah.
But when you look at them now, you wouldn't see all the work that was put into it. You just see the end result. So then you have someone like me or you or another person who really desires to have that longevity in a marriage or a relationship. And you see, wow, like, I really want that. But then whatever you have in the moment, you know, you get into a relationship and you're like, why isn't it like that? Yeah. Or why doesn't it look like that? It's because theirs didn't look like that at the beginning either.
They built it.
And it took a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of honesty, vulnerability. And it takes a lot of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of submission on both of their ends to each other and to the Lord. And that doesn't happen overnight. It takes years to do that. And it takes a partnership to do that, too. You can't do it on your own individually. I could go on and on about that. But that, it's like once I finally realized all the things that I want take time. And all the things, it's like you don't need to find the perfect person. You need to find the person that has the foundational qualities you're looking for.
Yeah.
Even if they have weaknesses, even if they have things that they're not fully healed from yet. I'm not saying go find someone that's like so broken that, you know, they don't have their life together at all.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You're not a rescuer. We're not missionaries here.
Yeah.
We are, but not in relationships. Don't find someone and be like, oh, I can fix them.
Yeah. Come on now.
But find someone that has a passion and a zeal for God, has the core qualities that you want, that you've desired. Find someone that loves you, like, and of course a lot of this you'll start to see and understand over time, but find someone that sees your heart, not just the outward. Find someone that loves you when you look like a troll in the morning. Find someone when you go on date night and look your best, like, and nothing about the situation changes how they feel about you. And, you know, I could go on and on again with that, but those are the things that are long lasting and the things that are so much harder to change. All of the other things, they will change, good and bad. And I think our generation is so caught up with the outward.
Yeah.
How much money you have, what you look like, how, you know, all those things, your career you have. And at the end of the day, you can have all of those things and have a horrible personality.
That's exactly right.
Or have no communication.
So much hurt that you're not dealing with.
Right. And have someone who's shut down and doesn't want to talk to you, doesn't want to better themselves while you're trying to do that yourself. And it's like, or you guys have two completely different goals in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen that over and over. It's like, you know, they love how each other look. They love having fun together, but yet they realize later on, 5 years down the road, that they don't have the same goals.
That's right.
And they end up calling it off.
One of the things that there's two things that really attracted me to you. One was so that first week was. Like, I've never talked to anybody in my life that much.
Me neither.
So we were texting the first day. I think I called you the second day, right? It wasn't that same day. I don't believe.
It wasn't. So it was after, because we,
this
the
was
next
a Sunday
morning that we texted the first time was the day that we went home.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I think it was either the next day or the day after.
You went home and I started my job back at the patrol. So I was in training. I was doing like video training, so it wasn't much going on, and I was texting you all day.
Yeah.
And like there were people coming in like, why are you smiling? Like, I'm on a cloud nine because this woman is amazing. And then I would come home. This happened every day that week. I would text you all day, and then I would come home and we would talk for like 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. Literally 6 hours.
And the very last girl that I talked to just wasn't like, we weren't talking. Like, we were texting and there wasn't much conversation there. Like there was nothing being built. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I asked to talk to her on the phone, mm-hmm. and she was a little shy. So I'm not, it was very different. It wasn't what I was looking for.
Right.
So she was shy.
And then you have me.
And then I have you who just kept talking. Like, I wasn't talking most of the time. She was.
I was also talking a lot because I was nervous.
But you had so many stories, and I loved it. I was like, man, she talks to me.
And if y'all can't tell, I go on rabbit trails a little bit.
Hey, because we've been gone for about 30 minutes, and you've talked for about 28, so.
Wow. But, you know, but, as much as you rag on me, it's like your favorite quality about me. So,
that's so
you just
good.
Need to figure out which one it is.
So that was one thing that I loved. The other, so I prayed, like you said, I was very specific in my prayers. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I love family. I love family so much. And I want to build the type of family where my kids understand love, and I want them to be around family. Family is so big, mm-hmm. And it's big to me because I didn't have that with my family.
Right.
We get together for some things, but it was separated. It was really broken when I was younger, mm-hmm. for different things in life, and I really wanted, like, I would pray that my future wife had a family aspect, one that she grew up like that, and also, well, you, one that you grew up like that, and also that family was continuous, like that family aspect was continuing to happen right now in your life. And then you told me that you and your family get together twice a year, once in the summer.
Not just my parents and my sister, but like my entire family. Like all my mom's side of the family.
Like aunts, uncles, grandparents, cousins, like move like a movie for 2 weeks in the summer and for 2 weeks at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, this isn't normal, right? Like, you know that people don't do this. And because you were the way that you told me is you were very sad that you missed the summer trip, mm-hmm. that last one.
Yeah.
And I was like, man,
that was the first one in. Well, at the time, how old was I? 29.
Your whole life.
29, yeah.
It was 29 it was the years first of time. Living.
Yeah.
The first time in 29 years
because
that you missed one.
Because I was across the country.
That is amazing, yeah. To me.
And to me, I didn't think much of it. I'm like, oh, people do that all the time. Like, whatever. But, yeah, I realized very quickly that it wasn't normal.
Yeah. I had the pleasure of going and being with your family for Christmas, which was kind of crazy. Like that, like she said, we haven't known each other for a year yet, and then I spend nine days with your family. This was like 6 months in.
Sure
last Christmas.
Well, and three of those months we weren't even together.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because one of the things I think this was the first day that we talked as well. You told me that, I think it was the day before or something, God told you to come back to, I have to preface this, to BSSM, which for those who don't know.
There's a BSSM in everyone, every single time you talk to somebody.
So we have recorded some podcasts before this, and we've talked about BSSM, and this is going to drop before all of those, so I have to preface it. BSSM stands for Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Mm-hmm. And it's ran by Bethel Church here in Redding, California. Mm-hmm. So you told me, was it the day before we met that God told you that? Told you to go?
Well, I had been kind of wrestling with the idea about coming back because I had already done the first year of this school.
Back in 2020, right?
Back in 2020. And then we graduated May 2021 and I moved to South Carolina right after that, a couple months after that. And so I had been feeling for a while that God wanted me to come back here. He said, there's more for you. I did not want to do that because, number one, moving across the country is not for the faint of heart. Number two, I had just spent all this time building community, mm-hmm. helping start a church, having all these friends and people. And
it's hard to leave that.
Right. And then the idea, also the thing that kind of came through my mind was like the idea of, oh, I just met this really great guy that I love talking to. The moment I tell him I'm thinking about moving to California, he's either not going to want to talk to me, or at best, he's going to do the whole block wall thing where, oh, we can just be friends to guard his heart so he doesn't get hurt. And then we can still talk, and then eventually it'll fade out.
But you didn't tell me that you were thinking about it. You told me that you made the decision.
Right, because I had made the decision like right a couple days, like, I think, before that.
Yeah.
And
before we started texting.
Right. Yeah. And I had actually asked our mutual friend mm-hmm. who introduced us. I said, do I tell him that I'm moving? Or do I just say I'm thinking about it? And she was like, no, you need to tell him you're pretty sure that you're moving.
She told
and
me.
And let him make the decision.
She told me that she was that they were moving. And
yeah, that's true. We moved together.
And my only question was, well, do you plan on coming back to South Carolina? Because I just moved up here and I got this good job. Uh-huh. And I love it. And I can do it in a different part of the state. I have no problem with that. But I can't do it outside the state because, you know, I'm a state trooper for this state. So do you plan on coming back to South Carolina? And she said, yes.
I did, because at the time, that was the plan. I was like, yes. Love South Carolina, and I, like, not one ounce of me wanted to come back to California, and I'm from here. So and not like, yeah, one ounce of me wanted to come back here or even live here full time.
Mm-hmm. But I love what God did, because that was the only factor. I'm like, okay, if she plans on coming back, then great.
Yeah, that's all God needed to
then
kind
we
of
can
move us
we
forward.
Can keep talking. I wasn't worried about her leaving. Like, I didn't want you to, especially after I met you. Like, I don't want you to leave, but hey, right. if that's where God's sending you in this moment, that's what's very, very important, because marriage was on the mind, right? Nobody should date and not have marriage on the mind. We don't date to have fun.
Right.
And play games. We're dating so that we can find the person that we want to be with.
Yeah.
So marriage was on the mind, but we weren't married yet. So no. If God told you to do something mm-hmm. before we got married, then you need to go and do what God told you to do.
Yep.
I don't want to get in the way of that. Like,
well,
no.
And that right there, when I was trying to decide, can I trust this guy? Is he just doing all... Because I had been so used to people doing things until they got what they wanted. And then just stopping doing them, and that really creates a barrier with trust. And so I kind of was wondering if that was kind of the situation, and so I was like, well, I guess
yeah, I mean,
I just lost my thought. I'll just be honest. I'm sitting here like, oh no.
It's fleeting. It happens sometimes. It's okay.
It happens all the time for me. So hopefully
but that was
I'm not the only one.
That was the thought of, oh, I don't know exactly what you're going
to
say.
Well,
but it was important as to whether or not we're going to be together.
Yeah, I know. When you said, I want you to follow the Lord, and, you know, if God's asking you to do something, to go and do it. That was, you didn't say it just like that, but that type of thing. And I immediately was like, wow, this guy actually, I mean, he's respectable. Like, I feel like he's not just in it for himself.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that, because at that point I could tell that you liked me. I could tell that you wanted to be around me more. And you were interested in seeing where it would go.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that you told me that, it actually helped me trust you more and helped me see into your heart as a person.
Mm. On that note, that is, I mean, it ultimately led to like that obedience of just letting you do what you're supposed to do
mm-hmm.
helped lead me to where I was supposed to be. Because I knew, I didn't tell you this until after I think after I proposed to you, I think, is that I day two, I knew.
Oh, yeah.
Like, day two of knowing you. Not day two of talking to you on the phone. Day two of knowing you, I knew that you were my wife. Mm-hmm. I didn't tell you that.
It's a good thing you didn't, because I would have ran the other direction.
I'm not stupid.
I would have been like the road runner God, on the other. It's like, whoop, nope, bye.
If God gives you a vision, if he's telling you something, you have to ask him if you're supposed to release it to the world. Because right. 'Cause if I'd have told you that, you would be gone. So exactly. I already knew that. So I already know that there were going to be challenges. And ultimately that changed into, okay, God sent you there. You plan on coming back. Later on, we're talking. It's like, okay, this is your second year of this school. Mm-hmm. This school has a total of 3 years. Mm-hmm. I expected you to do the 1 year because you weren't sure if you were gonna do three. But why wouldn't you do three? You're gonna be there longer than I thought. Maybe
you mean
he
once
wants.
Once I already got there, or
yeah, this is a, yeah. I once left. You already got there, oh, yeah. And it's like maybe he wants you to be there, and okay, well maybe. Maybe I'll entertain the thought of maybe he wants me to go to California, even though I don't know why he would want me to do that, because I'm doing pretty good here. I got my own apartment, got my car, like I said.
Says the man who had never been to the west side of the country.
I've never been off the East Coast.
Besides Texas.
Well, Texas was the first time that I even left the East Coast. I went there for Thanksgiving a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, I went to Texas. And then we didn't have time to like go around and do stuff.
Yep.
But
it's kind of like me moving to South Carolina. I've never stepped foot in the South, let alone South Carolina.
You've been
South
around
Carolina.
A long time. You got a missionary heart on you.
I guess so.
That's a different podcast for sure. I mean, I think that on the next podcast we'll talk more about being here in California. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. We can go into when you came and definitely when I came. It's an amazing story about how I got here for sure. Pretty crazy. So
that's an understatement.
But you, I guess
it's been a wild ride.
I mean, less than a year. And I don't regret anything. I remember we obviously knew. So it was a week after we started talking that I drove up to Greenville. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm going.
Which is like an hour and a half away from Columbia.
Yeah. I had never asked a girl on a date. I had asked a few. I tried to date. I told you that. I haven't told this on the podcast, I don't believe, previously. But after the first one left, I tried to date like four girls. Mm-hmm. And I had never dated, even with my first wife. We just knew each other for a while. We never dated. If we'd have dated, I would have, you know, found out more stuff. Anyway,
that could be a whole podcast on it.
So I tried to date four girls. One, I'll tell the stories. One I don't remember too much. It just kind of, well, she had just broken up with somebody, and I think that was one of those examples of me trying to be like a Captain Save-em type thing.
Yeah.
So
you were the rebounder.
Yeah, and so that didn't work. It's like, hey, we're talking about your ex too much, like, mm-hmm. which is fine. You were with him for a while. I get it.
Soul tag.
But it wasn't for yes, that's a whole other conversation. That's a good podcast for later.
I'm just full of ideas.
So you are. I love them. Bring them on. So the next one I asked over Facebook, and she doesn't get on Facebook that much. So she answered in like three months later.
Why did you ask her on Facebook?
I didn't see her all the time. I didn't know where she was. I just knew of her.
Oh,
I seen her like twice. This was the only way. So she ended up saying no. The other one, I don't even know who the other one was, but I know that there were four. And then there was the one where I had never done this in my life. I brought flowers on. It was Valentine's Day. I bought flowers, put them in a vase. She lived in the same apartment building as I did, and I took it to her.
I don't think you have ever told me
that. I didn't tell
that.
You that story?
No.
Okay, I'll tell it. I'll tell it more in depth. Okay, so this young lady lived in my apartment building, and
I'm so glad you didn't call me that anymore.
I had talked to her a couple times.
About calling me that for a while.
Young lady is a very nice.
It's
I'm a Christian
thing.
Guy.
It's
oh
a
my gosh.
Thing. Anyway,
she it was Valentine's Day. On Valentine's Day, people get their Valentine's stuff,
oh,
you know?
So, cute.
So I'd never done that in my life.
Until
so
you met me.
I went out and I bought flowers. Yeah, legit. I went out, I bought her flowers, spent like $80 on these flowers.
Dang.
It was last minute. You
were committed.
I had to buy a vase, of course. You can't just buy flowers, right? You got to buy a vase. A vase. I guess. I've never done this before. So I bought them, took them home, trimmed them up or whatever, I guess. And then I called her because I had her. No, I texted her. And
I said, hey. Some random chick you never met?
She was the courtesy officer. She was another cop.
Oh.
I didn't tell. Okay. She was another cop. She was a courtesy officer.
Left out that.
She was a courtesy officer for the apartment complex. Oh. So we're two cops. We obviously see each other.
Right.
And I text her. I said, hey, are you home? I have something for you. She said yes. And her apartment was like halfway down. So she's looking out the door watching me walk down with flowers. I didn't know where it was. I'd never been. I'm not that guy. Okay.
So did she give you any inkling of like, I kind of like him?
I feel like she did.
Oh.
Yeah, she did. She definitely did. We had good conversation.
Chemistry.
Yeah. So I brought her flowers. She's like, oh, thank you. Oh, it's so sweet. Thank you so much. We hugged and then I left. It was like 10 p.m. because I had just got off of work or whatever.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, the day's almost over. Let me take it. So mm-hmm. I took it. He's like, oh, thank you. So obviously I'm not staying. You know, I'm not. I'm a Christian boy. We don't do that. All right. And then I go over to Rainer's house because they lived across the street. I walk over there. I said, I did it. I'm like, oh, great job. Great job. And then I get this text from her. She said, hey, I forgot I had a boyfriend.
You forgot you had a boyfriend.
What? Well, he obviously isn't there at night on Valentine's Day with you. And it ended up being a good reason why that didn't happen. Because some stuff happened after that. Mm. So that was God definitely helping me. Tried to date people 4 times. That was all, like, I wasn't even divorced yet. So that was my first problem. I was still married, even though she left me. We were separated.
We weren't cheating.
But we were still married.
Right.
It was wrong.
Right.
I'm
clarifying for you that you weren't married and cheat. Like,
we weren't together.
You weren't together. You were cheater.
But in God's eyes, we were still married. So yes. I should not have done that. Which is why I got shut down.
And that right there is very honorable and something that people use to justify themselves out of situations.
Yeah.
Or into situations.
So I got shot down four times. After that, I was like, hey, I probably should stop doing this. And that's when I started focusing on God for that year. Mm-hmm. And then I focused on myself. I had to get to know me. And I'm really glad that I did. I'm so glad that I got shot down those four times. Because then I was like, all right, I found this woman. Well, she, I guess we came together through a friend. I'm going to ask her. So a week after knowing you, I asked you. I asked you to go on a date.
Yes, you did.
And I was very scared to ask you that.
And he drove an hour and a half to the house. Which is not far, but it's far for me.
Like, it's far for the woman. It's not too far for you to drive, but it'll make her realize how important she is.
Yes. And for me, because of past situations in my life, I really needed that. I needed to know that whoever I was going to date and or eventually marry, I needed consistency. Consistency mm-hmm. is a huge thing for most women, but especially women who have been hurt. And even men, like, consistency on both ends, but specifically for women, like, having a man who's consistent and consistent in their actions, consistent in how they treat you.
Being intentional, too.
Being intentional. Yeah. It's the little things for me.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he drove an hour and a half, I don't even know. Did you work that day?
I don't believe so. I was off.
Well, the fact that you drove an hour and a half in rush hour, bad traffic, and we all know that highway is really frustrating with
385 and 85.
Uh-huh. Just to come hang out with me for a couple hours and then drive back.
Yeah.
That was like a big deal for me. And it was hot. It was a hot day.
And you were telling me that I didn't have to.
And I was telling you you didn't have to. And
I'm over here like, yes, I freaking do. Like, I'm going to Greenville.
Well, and I think for me, I had been so used to talking to people like either that were even like that far away or further or whatever. And they would always like, well, when are you going to come to me? Or when are you going to come over here? When will you be in the area? It was never, oh, wow, I'm going to come to you. Mm. Or, you know, when can I come take you out?
Whenever you're in town, we'll hang out.
Right, exactly. And so for me, I was like, oh, this guy actually, like, he's serious about this. He's serious. Whether it goes anywhere or not, he's serious about the here and the now. Like, wondering, like, if this will happen, and he wants to see, and he's serious about it. And for me, that was just the first step, not only into my healing journey, but also into trusting who you were as a person and knowing that I could trust my heart with you. And it's obviously been an ongoing process, but and so you did that, and we went, and I didn't know the town I was house sitting in very well, so we looked up some random Mexican place, and Mexican is my favorite, and you love Mexican too.
I do.
And we bonded over that. And so yeah, it was a tiny awkward at first, not awkward, but just like that nervous, shy, like, we both haven't done this, and like,
I'm gonna say, when she opened the door,
okay. And we had already FaceTimed and all this stuff, too. So FaceTime. He hadn't seen me.
Which was big for me to FaceTime somebody.
Yeah.
But when she opened the door, I was like, Sydney, you did it. Like, you, great job. Because this woman is gorgeous. Not only on the face, but from head to toe. And good job, Sydney. I swear that thought went through my mind. And I wore my nice shirt.
The bird shirt.
My bird shirt. And she was, she loved it.
This man got so many compliments on his bird shirt. I wish you guys could see the shirt. Someday maybe we can, yeah. It's white background and it has parrots all over it. And it's actually pretty classy looking. It has some leaves and parrots.
I bought it the day before.
Did you?
I saw that shirt and I'm like, I'm wearing it. I feel like at Burlington Coat Factory. After we ate, we walked over and got ice cream, and we were walking past this guy, and he said, "Great shirt." I said, "Thank you."
And everybody in line, it was a long line. And more everyone people. Was sweating to death standing out there. It was so hot and sticky. It's very humid in South Carolina.
And all they could talk about was my shirt.
And all they could talk about was the shirt. And you and I were just like, at that point, we, as much as we talked on the phone,
yeah,
we were doing in person. And I remember a very specific moment. Once we got ice cream, we were sitting on the tape or sitting at a table, and I think we were talking about cars.
We did talk about cars, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm remembering right. So much has happened since then. It hasn't technically been that long, but so much has happened since then.
It feels like years.
Yes. Which is also a good sign, everybody, if you're single, if whoever you're talking to, it feels like it's been a year or 5 or 10, and it's only been a week or a couple months. That's a really good sign.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were sitting there. I love classic cars, like old cars. And so
motorcycles.
Yes, and motorcycles. And so we were looking at different cars, and I remember you and I were sitting kind of close to each other, and I just felt so at peace, so safe with you, and it was because of your demeanor, like, because of what you carry spiritually and just who you are as a person. You bring a lot of safety and peace wherever you go. And that's also why we connect so well and why we go together, because I have been told that I carry the same things.
You definitely do.
In public, like when I go around places and with people. And so, of course, God would put two people like that together, you know?
Yeah.
And so yeah, we were sitting there, and I was just like, I really think this could go somewhere. And it wasn't one of those things where I definitely was not in a fairyland of like, oh, everything, you know, just in this serendipitous world of, oh, this is just going to be amazing and da da da. Because I was 29 and I had lived a lot of life and I knew that.
You've seen different stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And it can be easy to get caught up in that. But.
I'm so sorry. I have to arm the building.
Okay. Yeah, so I was feeling very safe and. Yeah, and I just knew, like, if I knew that if this was gonna go somewhere, that I would be willing to go with it, I guess. And I was still terrified, don't get me wrong, but we had a level of connection that I feel like only God can bring.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we both had our own problems. We both, like, when I tell you we are not perfect, we're not perfect. Trust me. We both were in weird processes and still are. And we both had been hurt in the past. We both had a lot of things that the Lord was healing us from and that we were going through. But, you just kind of know when God connects you. And like, even the way we met was such a gift from God, because he knew that I would need that type of confirmation. He knew that Sydney would need that type of confirmation, of like, wow, this was such a, unique way of meeting and coming together, that of course it was God.
How intentional is our God?
Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Man, there is so much more story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily for y'all, she's going to be around for a long time.
I sure am.
I'm very happy that, I'm happy that this podcast is happening again. We've already recorded some amazing people. This is going to come out before them, but we have heard some amazing stories. And I can't wait for y'all to hear them, but I also can't wait for y'all to hear more of this story. The stuff that's already happened, and also as it continues. Actually going to do some interviews with Ash as a co-host. So that'll be awesome. Hearing more of the pathway to purpose for different people. And we hope that it just inspires you. We hope that even this conversation about a relationship that was formed and definitely God ordained sparks something in you to not be afraid to take that chance. To not give up and to consult God specifically, right? Because all this stuff that's happening, both of us were still talking to him,
mm-hmm.
constantly saying, "Is this right? Is this what you want us to do?"
Right.
So,
and I would just suggest to everybody, like, if you're afraid or you're hurt or whatever the case may be, or you feel like you want to run the other direction, if you still feel like God is on it, just keep going forward. Like, don't allow those things to get in the way, because coming from someone who almost did and has multiple times, like, has almost done that multiple times, run the other direction out of fear or not feeling adequate, I can tell you the best decision I've ever made and will continue to make is by pushing past those barriers, pushing past those things, and saying yes to not only God, but to the man that I love. Yeah. And that's, I mean, in hindsight, that's what marriage is. You're always going to have obstacles placed in front of you. This won't be the last time that either of us will feel these things, but it's what is your response to it? And I think that's the key. And if you can learn that while you're dating, and you can learn to communicate, and hear each other and love each other through it, and learn how to trust each other and be vulnerable, then you're going to have, while you're dating, you're going to have an amazing marriage.
Yeah. Amen. Well, thank y'all for joining us today on the Pathway to Purpose podcast. So happy to have you. And yeah, look out for that next episode. We're going to post them on Sundays. So look out for them on Sundays. I'm thinking around 3:00. I don't know. We'll do some research on when the algorithm pushes it to you at the right time. So, have a great day.